Acknowledgements. This book has taken at least 5 years to come into being, or even longer if I think of it starting with the first spark at the lunch with my great-aunt Hélène Podlieski-Bénédict in 2002. I am forever grateful to her for entrusting me with a story that she had not told to anyone, or to only a very few. I have to also thank my aunt Eva Strauss, who encouraged me and went with me in 2002 to record the interview. Eva, the indomitable family archivist, along with her husband, Michel Paillard, made the transcription that later Hélène was able to edit and contribute to the archives at Université Paris-Nanterre. To find the story, I had help from so many people. I want to thank Suzanne Maudet's family, and especially Pierre Sauvanet and his wife Anne-Florence for championing Suzanne's book. They were gracious hosts when I contacted them and asked for an interview. I wish to thank, as well, Suzanne's editor at Alia, Anne Bourguignon. Her passion for this story was clear when I contacted her, and she responded quickly, setting me on the trail. That book, along with the film Unschnappt, were critical in opening the story for me. Without them, this book could not exist. I feel deeply grateful to Jetske Spanier and Anger Wieberdink, two wonderfully talented and generous Dutch documentary filmmakers. I could not have gotten far without the open generosity of so many family members of these 9 women. Again and again, I was humbled by their willingness to open their doors, their hearts, and their photo albums. Nicole's daughter gave me unpublished papers from her mother. She invited me for several meals at La Batelière in Paris, and even took me with her companion to my first live auction at Drouhe. She introduced me to Jacqueline Fleury, who was one of the 57,000 and is a survivor from Ravensbrück. A true honour for me. Gigi's family were a great help. Her grandson, Olivier Clémentin, became an unofficial assistant with his crack genealogy website skills. He helped me find Zinka's family and unsnarl the knot of double last names. Along with his mother, Laurence Spiker Clémentin, they gave me my first introduction to Gigi and led me to Mena's family. Gigi's grandchildren, Catherine, Pauline, Olivier and Étienne Clémentin, and Julie and Karine Spiker generously shared with me their memories of her. I met and became close to Mark Spiker, Gigi's son. He knows how much he is part of this story, and how grateful I am to him and to the paths this story led me down. Mena's son-in-law, Jean-Louis Le Plâtre, and her grandson Guillaume Le Plâtre were marvellous storytellers. They both allowed me to interview them for hours on the phone. Guillaume shared moving stories that he had inherited from his mother, and Jean-Louis sent me an envelope of photographs without hesitation. I am grateful for Gilles and Tom Chatenay, Zinka's son and grandson, for their visit here in the south of France when we were able to share a memorable lunch together. One of the most emotionally powerful experiences for me during this entire project was meeting the lovely France Dubruc, the baby Zinka had in Fresnes prison. I am forever grateful to her and her husband Didier for that afternoon we spent talking together and for the document they found in their attic and shared with me, another invaluable key to the whole story. I am grateful to Philippe Moncel, Jackie's friend. Without talking to him, I would not have known very much about her. And I want to thank Jackie's heir, Michel Lévy, for speaking so movingly about her and filling in the many gaps in her story. The contributions of Martine Forceau, Hélène's daughter, were invaluable. She shared a wealth of information about that part of our family. Her humour and insight into her mother were essential to my understanding. When Jetske and Anger arranged for Mark Spiker and me to meet with them in Amsterdam, I didn't know how important that day would be. Not only was it wonderful to finally meet the two people who had so inspired my search, but they also arranged a meeting with Lon's daughter and son-in-law, Patricia Elisabeth Frederik Wensink and Vladimir Schreiber. Pat and Vladimir came to that meeting generously prepared with documents to share with me. Pat was candid and forthright about the difficulties of being the child of a survivor. I cannot thank them enough for spending that Sunday with me. The archivist Anne Friebel, whom I met at the Leipzig Forced Labour Memorial, may not know how important her help was, but I am deeply grateful to her and to all the anonymous archivists whose dedication to preserving the truth is truly noble. Celeste Schenk, president of the American University of Paris, graciously invited me to consult their archives at the George and Irina Schaefer Center for the Study of Genocide, Human Rights and Conflict Prevention, which houses the USC Shoah Foundation's Visual History Archive. There, with the help of the head archivist, Constance Paris de Boladière, I was able to consult hours of video interviews with Nicole Clarence, another crucial moment in this project. Another vital step in my education about the Nazi concentration camp system came from the dedicated members of the Association Française Buchenwald, Dora et Commandos. I especially wish to thank my wonderful guides, Jean-Claude Gourdin and Christophe Rabineau, on the second trip I made to Germany. And I want to thank my companions on that voyage, most of them families of the deported. This community of memorial groups, initially formed by survivors and now continued by families of the deported, tirelessly carry on the work of keeping a vigilant watch over the memory and history. That history is under constant threat from neo-fascists, anti-Semites, and other Holocaust deniers. I want to also thank Dominique Durand, president of the International Committee for Buchenwald, Dora and Commandos, and historical adviser Agnès Treibel, the General Secretary. I want to thank Dominique for suggesting I work with Agnès, who read a rough draft of the manuscript and made copious, careful and insightful notes and corrections, which were invaluable to me. She has been an important source for me, and is ever generous with her time and knowledge. Over two winters, when I was on break from my regular job, I was given a place to write. I want to thank Paulina Nourricier for her apartment in Paris, where I wrote the first rough draft of this book, and the Vermont Studio Center for their generous fellowship a year later. The Calicoon Center Writers Retreat generously offered me a place, though I wasn't able to go. I want to thank Laurie Fendrich and Peter Plagans for their unflagging support. I wish to thank my agent, Andy Ross, for his tireless help and encouragement. I thank and admire Judith Carfiol for her tenacity. And I'm deeply grateful to them for their endless support. My father, Julian Strauss, and stepmother, Betsy Strauss, are lovers of history and writers themselves. I wish to thank my siblings, Willie, Annie, Susanna, and Tilly, for their lively curiosity and humour. Tilly, my first friend, my first companion in life, was with me at Ravensbrück on my last trip to Germany. Annie talked me through the math. My mother, Katie Nichols, is my number one reader. Her talent at storytelling is why I am a writer. Emmanuelle Charlier was my research assistant. She found Gigi's family, which opened a whole story. George Bauer has been my companion, who never stopped believing in me. Finally, my three children have had to put up with a mother who is often too busy writing. I'm sorry, Noah and Eliza, that you too caught the disease. Sophie accompanied me on so many journeys of discovery for this book. Her brilliant insights and her help running the recorder are an integral part of this story.